God, you are good. You are faithful. And God, you are rising up an army, Father, and I'm so thankful that we get to be part of that army. Father, I pray that we would go boldly into battle, knowing that you are fighting those battles for us. And further than that, God, that we know that that battle is won and the victory is there. And the victory is yours, therefore the victory is ours. We don't have to be afraid. God, thank you that we can go into every situation triumphant, victorious, joyful, excited to know and see what you are going to do in all of our situations. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. God, thank you for opportunities for as a body to reach out and love people and to reach in and love each other. Father, I pray that we would keep our focus fully fixed on you. God, I pray right now for these kids as they're going to Sunday school. God, I pray that you would just touch their little hearts, touch their spirits, Father. God, give them a boldness for you, that they would be excited for you, that they would minister to others for you. Jesus, that you would give them that wisdom and that boldness right now. God, I pray for Stacy as she teaches them, God, that you would just encourage her and give her the words to say for these guys. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys may have a seat. We'll let the kids get off. Thanks, team. Do you want to, actually, just come on up, John. If you come to this side, I'll give you a microphone.
Thank you. Two things. We had our vehicle break down at Highway 15, and we were wondering if anyone would be able to give us a ride home to Milden. The other thing is, last time I was here, as we were going home, the Lord told me something. And what he told me was that, Dave, as you've been asking Nathan to come up and pray for people, that you have been opening the door for God to physically move in this building, in this church, this community, that to open the door for the giftings that he has given you, the people, for him to move through. So I just want to encourage you, Dave, that I've never heard that from the Lord before.
Cool.
So
thanks, yeah. John, and we'll get you right home. We won't make you hitchhike. It's chilly out there. Well, we'll get Thelma right home for sure. We all do. Okay. So the last few weeks we've been talking about NCD, Natural Church Development. We've got a couple more weeks, and I think this week is a really fun one to talk about. It's not as contentious as the last week's one. But we've been dealing through these 8 quality characteristics that churches that are healthy have. And it's looking at the context of having these characteristics. So we talked about, first we talked about leadership. But we didn't want just leadership, we wanted leadership that was empowering. We didn't want just ministry, but we wanted gift-based ministries. We wanted spirituality that was passionate in this church, don't we? That's what we want. We don't want just, oh, we're just here and we're just going to go about it. We want passionate spirituality. We want structures that are effective. We want to be actually doing something effectively. And this week we want worship services that are inspiring. And that's what we're going to talk about. And then in the next couple coming weeks, we're going to talk about small groups that are holistic. And like people just getting together for coffee or people gathering for lunch or whatever that may look like. Not just necessarily coming to Bible study on Thursday, but it's beyond Bible study. It's just gathering the body together. And then with that, we're going to tie together some relationships that are loving, community. And we're going to also finish off this series off talking about evangelism that is need-oriented. So, I'm going to skip a couple slides, Ella. Fast forward. I've been talking a lot today. So let's just jump to, I don't know what slide it is. The sixth slide for you. Oh, you're good. It's a good thing to have quality people there, hey? Make up when you decide to change your mind. So this week we're talking about inspiring worship services. And I think that's churches, what churches do is they get convinced that there's models from other churches that represent the universal plan for or principles for spiritual growth or for growth in a church. You know, well, Bethel's really got it together, so let's just make everything like Bethel. Or Life Church has it, like they're growing, so let's take it all like Life Check. Or Saddleback Church has this growth happening, let's do it like that. Or, you know, you can go to any of the big churches and you can say, well, they've got this, let's just follow that. That's the recipe for success. That's not. It's not, oh, well, Elam and Saskatoon, they got a fog machine, and they got six guitar guys playing, and they're all playing amazing guitar solo riffs, whatever you call it. I'm not a guitar player, but they're all playing guitar awesome. That's what we need. Maybe we need a church choir. That's, you know, there's some big churches down south, those Baptist churches. They got the choir going. That's what we need. We need some people swaying and clapping and rhythm. I can't do either, so I'm not even going to try for you. That's the trick, right? No. Maybe it's the fact that some of these churches, they got their pastors all sitting up on the stage above you, because pastors are better than you people. I'm not sure if you knew that. Just kidding. If you didn't know, I was kidding. Or maybe it's where the pastor always sit in the front row. And the list can go on and on of what different churches do and maybe what works for them. But an NCD shows us that we have one principle with thousands of models and styles that work. And the question isn't if the music or service targets believers or non-believers. That isn't even the question. Whether it is full of Christian symbolism or if it strives to mandate this secular business-like atmosphere in church, those are not the things we're looking for. It's not whether the service follow a normal style or a free flow style. In taking this class I'm taking right now through Horizon, we actually learned that initially on Azusa Street, it was just very free flow. People would stand up and share and prophesy and speak in tongues, and miracles were just miraculously, obviously, happening. If it's a miracle, it's miraculous. But then you have later on in Chicago where it was more structured. And the same thing happened. So that tells me Holy Spirit can work no matter what the setting is. People can be encouraged and blessed no matter what the setting is. So the key is something else. And the one question we ask ourselves is the worship service an inspiring experience for those who attend? Inspiring. See, the aspect that distinguishes between non-growing and growing churches, I had Browning churches in my notes, that's why I took a little pause there. I'm like, Browning churches? What does that mean? But between growing and non-growing churches, and since each of us experience different forms of worship and inspiration, there is no right or wrong answer. We need different churches and different styles to minister to the large mosaic of people in the world. So those of us who attend inspiring services declare that the service is what? Now, obviously, this is going to be hard to say because everybody's a little bit different. But the one thing that is common, we'll say, is that now, pause your ears here if you don't like this word, or rewind and delete if you don't like the word. But I really hope you do, because when you attend a worship service, when you attend a service, an inspiring service, we want the service to be the F word. Fun. Fun. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we're going to get into that. So evidence shows that the opposition to this quality characteristic comes from Christians who attend churches, who only attend to fulfill a duty. I have to go to church. It's fun to sing songs to Jesus. It's so fun to give him our worship, isn't it? It's not our duty. It's a joy. It's fun. I hope you have fun when you're singing praise to his name. It's a joyful experience. It'd be like saying, oh, I guess it's Sunday. Guess I got to go to work. You know? I don't want to ever come to church and say, oh, I got to preach, man. I'm excited to come. I'm excited to share. I'm excited to talk and share my awful jokes with you guys. But I'm excited to be here. And I hope you're the same. Not, oh, I got to go do my duty. Oh, I wonder how many minutes Dave's going to talk this week. Can you believe last week he talked for 32 minutes? Like, seriously. If you can't say it in 20 minutes, don't even bother saying it. I had somebody tell me that once. Sorry. Not here. Sometimes you just need to share. Sometimes things come up in your heart and Holy Spirit speaks to you and it takes longer. If we're really talking about the Azusa Street stuff, they were there for like 6 hours to 8 hours to 10 hours just sharing, just letting Holy Spirit move. Wouldn't that be fun? Your butts might get sore. We might have to upgrade chairs. But hey, or better shoes. But that's awesome because we're focused on Jesus. I want you to come to church because it's a wonderful experience that you wouldn't want to miss. An experience because you know that Christ is here, that his Spirit is at work in our church. That's what we want, right? Some people who attend church and come with the perspective that they have to go believe that their faithfulness and patiently enduring this awful service, this unpleasant experience is going to bless them by God. Oh, man. I want us to have fun. So let's go back to the wagon for a second. I am hooked on something here. Okay, there we go. When people have that perspective that they just have to go and, you know, they've got the wrong perspective of church. They've got this picture of the square wagon. And those wheels, man, they're patiently enduring those square wheels when they've got round wheels right there that they can be utilizing. They consider going through service like this as a spiritual act where they're trying to push along and pull along a wagon with square wheels where it's just a struggle. This picture is normal for people that don't want to have fun with their worship. They don't want to have inspiration, inspiring talk. They don't want to be inspired. The worship service in a healthy church can be different, yet they share a common denominator. In growing and healthy churches, we find high quality in the areas of liturgy, in areas of teaching, and the areas of praise. And we'll jump into those here in a second. So liturgy. The term liturgy, what do we picture? We picture a liturgical church. I'm trying to think of a denomination that's very liturgical. Catholics are liturgical at times. But liturgy isn't just that style. That's not what it's saying. It doesn't relate to just a formal style of liturgies where you read and stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. That's not what it's saying. Liturgies can be clearly detected in the midst of a declared non-liturgical church. We can have liturgies. We can have a liturgical process in a non-liturgical church. Does that make sense? We'll get into that more. Don't worry if I'm confusing you. We are going to break into that one as we go on in life in the next 2 weeks, okay? So that forces you to come back. Then we got praise, though. Praise can be practiced in many, 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 many ways. Do you believe that? Is it wrong? Is any of it wrong? I don't believe so. If we're singing praise, authentic praise from in here to our God, is it wrong to sing praise in any style? We could have hymns, we could have an organ, we could have a trombone, we could have a tambourine, we could be clapping our hands, which I don't do very well, and rhythm, because I can't, my brain doesn't work that way. I can do one thing at a time. I can't eat and chew gum, or I guess obviously nobody can eat, but I can't walk and chew gum very well. I can't talk and eat very well because I got food flying. That's why sometimes when I'm speaking, I don't recommend, well, I recommend the front row. It's the great, the best view of the house, guys. But I do, some of you notice I spit sometimes because I'm trying to swallow and talk. I don't do it well. But some, we could be dancing, right? What would that look like? It'd be awesome. It'd be fun. Who doesn't like dancing except me when I'm stepping on your toes? That's okay. We could be raising our hands. Our heads could be bowed. Any of that is praise, and none of it is wrong. As long as it comes from here, right? That's what matters. And then teaching. Man, I'm so glad you did not hire me for my teaching ability and my preaching ability. I'm glad, well, maybe you did, I don't know. But because there's lots of great speakers out there. But you know what? I think you guys hired me for my heart, for who I am. Because God told you to hire me. I don't know. I'm thankful you did. I'm glad to be here. But you know what I mean? Like, there's lots of ways to teach is really what I'm trying to say. There's lots of styles of teaching and preaching. But the thing is it needs to meet the context. We need to be preaching about what? That truth, right? That's what matters, the truth. Some preachers are storytellers, some are Bible study guys, some are object lesson guys, some are, you know, there's countless ways. But are they speaking and preaching the truth based on Scripture? So the key items when looking at these three of liturgy, teaching, and praise is this. Whatever the church style, the secret to health is that all three areas are displayed. Not just displayed, though, but are displayed in quality and that they are brought into balance. But there's another piece when talking about these items, these three items of liturgy, teaching, and praise. And do you want to know what that is? Do you want to know? What is that other piece? I'm pointing at it. It's you. It's you guys, right? Your personal contribution. Maybe you're one of the people that believe that you're enduring this boring service. It's one of those Christian virtues. It's one of the things that, you know what, I'm going to get an extra crown because I had to listen to Pastor Dave speak for 32 minutes, sometimes 36 minutes, sometimes 38 minutes. The odd time he's even talked 58 minutes, but I was there and I get that crown. No, right? Like, maybe you're one of the people that say, well, the music, like, they got that thing just cranked. I feel like I'm in a nightclub. Or maybe you're the one that says, I just miss my old hymns. We need 5 hymns on a Sunday. Or the pastor, well, we already said this, but the pastor talks too long. His jokes aren't funny. His kids don't even laugh. Well, they don't, but they're funny still. I have in big, bold letters here, my jokes are funny. But seriously, the services are intended to energize and inspire. And maybe it's that in the past you encountered God through one or two or three of the different pieces of the inspirational service or inspirational worship that I talked about. The liturgy, the teaching, or the praise. Maybe you've never experienced all three. And if that's the case, strive to appreciate the other one or two that you haven't yet experienced. It's not my job to help you experience that fully. Did you know that? It's not Mary's job to make sure she picks the songs. Oh, what is Ella going to like this week? I need to make sure I get Ella right in the feels with my song selection. It's not what it's about. It's not the only piece. It's our individual response to God tugging on our heart, to God, Holy Spirit speaking to us, to Holy Spirit reaching in and changing us It's how we respond. It's how we interact with him. See, you could go into the biggest mega church there is that's growing and people are there, and you could be like, this music sucks. Like, they're awful or whatever, you know? No, where is your heart? We're singing praise to his name. Let's get joyful. Let's have fun. Let's see. There it goes again. Spit. Let's sing to him. Doesn't matter if you know the song, you like the song, whatever. The words are on the screen. Let's sing with passion. Let's sing with joy. Let's have fun. Let's be inspired because he is our king. Right? That's what matters. We want true worship that touches the heart of God. And not just a reflection of the style. Not just a reflection of the music. Not just a reflection of the instruments being played. But music. But a time of worship. That a time of praise. That just touched the heart of God. That we reach out and just know. That we're living our life as a reflection of the heart of God. So inspiration. I've used this word a ton. I've emphasized it. So you had to know we were going to get there. Inspiration. Comes from the Latin word inspirato. Inspiratio. Sounds like radio. I don't know. In dash spiratio. And it literally means the Spirit flows into you. That's what that word really means. Inspiration. The Spirit flows into you. That's why we want inspiring worship. Because in all that we do, we want the Spirit of God to be flowing into us. Don't we? That sounds fun, doesn't it? We want the Spirit to flow into you. And whenever this happens in a service, people can connect to both God and we can connect to fellow believers in a much more effective way when the Spirit is flowing into us. He inspires me, and through me, I have an opportunity to inspire others. And the inspiration that comes through me can inspire others, and he can inspire them. God can inspire them, and they can inspire others. It's this inspiration of working together. It's this inspiration of building each other up. It's this inspiration of encouragement so that God can be used through you and to you, right? He inspires me, and through me, he inspires others. And when we are authentically connected to God, when we're reaching and pulling on his heartstrings, we don't have to work on how to inspire other people. Because when we're inspired by God, when the Spirit is just flowing into us, how can you not be inspired? How can you not be encouraged? How can you not be lifted up? So maybe our maybe when we are inspired, maybe we just bow in reverence, right? Maybe when the Spirit is just working in us, like Psalm 95:6, so come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our, he's our God. But my knees hurt. Then I don't know, get a pillow, sit there and just bow. But let's do it for God. Sometimes there's times you just cannot stand in his presence. His Spirit is flowing through. You've probably all seen people get slain in the Spirit because the Spirit is just so strong on that person. They cannot stand anymore because the Spirit is there. The anointing is there, right? But the thing is you can choose to do it, to worship him fully. The slaying the Spirit part, that's not really a choice because his power, it is, but it isn't. It's one of those things that's challenging to explain, so we're not going to dive in there today. But it's our choice to engage him. That's our choice. And that's the root of what I'm trying to say there. Two, sometimes we'll lift our hands in adoration of our King. And I've shared this point before with you guys. Psalm 63:4. No, go back. I will praise you as long as I live, and I will lift up my hands. And I shared before, though, when I shared this, you're not just saying, what, God, I surrender. You're saying, I have the victory too when you're lifting your hands. He brings, when you surrender to him, you have victory, full and utter victory. Right? Is this fun? I hope this is fun. But we have the victory. Touchdown. It's good. Praise God. Right? I hope I'm not just talking to myself here. I hope you guys are excited. We have that moment of surrender and victory all in one amazing action. One action. And then sometimes we get to dance, like I talked about earlier. Dancing and celebration. You don't want to see my football touchdown victory dance. But sometimes it just hits you and you can't stop dancing. When his spirit is inspiring you, sometimes you're just going to want to dance. And that's awesome, isn't it? There's no judgment here about your dance moves. Okay? I want to see some dance moves. I want us to be a church that are excited to get here, to have fun, and just share, to be inspired by God, to have his spirit flowing into us. Every now and then, you see the goodness of God. And I hope and I pray that it's more now than then. I hope you continually seek it. You continually experience. You continually want his spirit flowing in you. You continually want his goodness working through you. As David said, he turned my weeping into dancing. I like dancing. I'm not a big fan of weeping. He turned my mourning into a moment of joy, of celebration. We get to live a joyful, celebrated life. Are we willing to do it? You are forgiven. That deserves a lot of dancing and celebration, doesn't it? You are alive in Christ, right? Does that deserve some dancing? I'm not going to make you come up here and show me your moves. This isn't going to become Dancing with the Stars, Dancing with the Church. But I want us to have inspirational service where the Spirit flows into us, and we allow him to work freely in our service. And I thank you, John, for sharing that about Nathan. Because it's so true, right? When we release people to go in their giftings, we release something special in our church. And I'm so thankful for people like Nathan, Mary, all of you, Gary, Mel, I'm sorry, Sharon, I should have started a name. But I'm thankful for you all because you all have gifts, right? Right, Kat? Right, Myrna? Right? Right, Patrick? Right? John? Ella. Okay. I'm not naming everybody because I'm skipping Ella and Seth. Because Ella's, or Nora, sorry, Nora and Seth. I get them wrong at home too, don't worry. But right, we all have a gift. And as I've been sharing for the past number of weeks, when we start our next series, and here's also teasers to keep you coming back, and have some fun with us, is we're going to be doing a series called Conversations with the Holy Spirit. And in that, we are going to start working through our gifts. So each of us will have an opportunity to work through our gifts, and we can work together to find out what your gifts are. I think that's something awesome. I think that's exciting. Who doesn't want to know where their gift is? Some of you know. Maybe God's given you another gift. Maybe there's opportunities to work and strengthen the gifts that he's given you, to develop those gifts. And that's what we want to do. Because that's fun. It's fun worshiping him. It's fun being engaged. It's fun having the Spirit work through you, isn't it? Man, I'm excited. Every single day, we lay down our lives as an act of worship, don't we? Don't we? Every day. And worship isn't something we just do when we're here. Worship is our life. Worship is who we are because of who God is. Right? We are a worshiper. Just like that song, we are that army. Those army guys, they used to sing when going into battle, didn't they? Man, we could have fun going into battle singing down the street together. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like I said, this spring, we're doing a prayer walk in Meldon. We're going to be doing one around Rosetown. And we'll sing. We'll pray. We're going to pray for our communities. We're going to pray for areas. Fisk? Darcy? Whatever, you know? If you want us there, we'll come. We're going to come together as a family, as a body of believers, right? And we're going to let the Spirit flow in us, and we're going to, what? Encourage others. We're going to let the Spirit flow out of us, too. Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and accountable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This isn't a, if you want to do it. This isn't a, if you feel up to it, do this, guys. This is a do it. Brothers and sisters, this is what we need to do. This is what God's done so much for us that we need to give him our bodies. And all that we do is an act of worship. Everything we do is for him. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. When we treat our lives as an act of worship, we can live inspiring, inspirational lives. And the Spirit of God can flow into us. Right? When we let the Spirit flow into us, all the things of the Spirit of God flows through us and allows us to be more effective with others. We can be an inspiration. He inspires me, and through me, he inspires others. So be inspired. Grow in your faith. Grow in your faith in God and be inspired. Allow that Spirit to flow into you. When we're here singing, and I'm going to ask Mary and John to come up and they can pick a song, any song. But when they're singing, I really encourage you to sing with everything in you. To worship him with everything in you. To allow the Spirit to flow into you. Get excited. Let's have fun for Jesus. That could be our tag name now. Rosetown Community Church, having fun for Jesus and with Jesus. Right? See, we come here and we think, well, maybe we don't, but lots of people go to church, and the first thing I've heard from so many of my friends that don't go to church is, well, I can't go there. I don't want to be hit by lightning. I don't want to have this happen. I don't want to be judged. I don't want this. Wrong! Come, have fun, be loved. Jesus loves you. Let's just get engaged to him, right? Let's let the Spirit flow in us. You're not going to be judged, pal. Come in. Feel loved. We're here for you. We want to love you. Right? That's how it should be. We're not judgeful. We shouldn't be judgeful. And if we are, come back and I'll judge you later. I'll give you a kick in the shins. I don't have steel-toe boots, so it might hurt me more. But you know what I'm saying, right? We are not here to judge. We are here to love. Let's love and let's let the Spirit flow in us and let's be inspiring, right? Thank you. I saw you guys nodding. I just needed to do that. So guys, I hope we had fun today. I hope we were inspired today. I hope that we allowed the Spirit to flow in us. Because let me repeat. Maybe I didn't say this, but either way, I'm going to say it now. It's not me speaking here. I try to write down what Holy Spirit tells me to write down because he's inspiring me to inspire you, and I hope you're being inspired by what Holy Spirit tells you to inspire others. Do you know what I'm saying? We have an opportunity to inspire. Exciting. Fun. Are you willing to do this with me? Yeah. Let's do this. Okay. If you can stand, let's stand. We're going to pray. And then we're going to let Mary close it off in a song and send you guys off in prayer, and I'll say goodbye to you at the door. God, we thank you for who you are. God, thank you for inspiring. Thank you for letting your Spirit flow in us, God. God, thank you that we can inspire others through what you've done through us. God, I pray that all that we do would be done in love. Father, I pray right now that doors would be knocked down in this community. Father, that you would take this town back, that you would take Milden back. God, that you would take Fisk back, that you would take down all these surrounding towns' walls, God, that your spirit would flow and rest there, God. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, for your joy, for your happiness, your love, your peace, that it just flows into us, that we're inspired. God, I pray that we can have an impact on each other and with others. God, thank you. We love you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom and your guidance. Thank you for your encouragement, God. God, I pray right now that we will have a new and real opportunity this week to pour into somebody's life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.